So last week we considered, oh, before we do that, anybody have any birthdays? I'm not aware of anybody's birthdays or anniversaries this week. Anybody have any birthdays? Man, nobody has a birthday or anniversary this week? Well, we're going to pray because, and if you have anything you want to add to this, but I do know that that Tanner and Julie, I know that they got a bug going through their house. We're going to pray for them that all the kids are healthy and that it does not come on Julie and Tanner as well. Amen? For those of you who don't know, I'm pointing to they're with us in Indiana. Yeah, there. I am seeing somebody. Truly, I am seeing somebody. Lord, we thank you and praise you for how good you are, that your word is true. And we say to that household that that sickness, whatever it is, it departs. I say to just both of those boys, we speak to their bodies, and we say to their bodies, reject what is not of the word of God. Purge the sickness. Bodies, you will not hold on to, and you will not receive sickness, and every symptom departs from their bodies. And I thank you that Tanner and Julie, I thank you that they are healthy and strong, and that this shall not come upon them in the authority of your name, Jesus. If there's anyone else that is just battling with sickness or any kind of just struggle physically, I speak to every body in this place, and that these bodies line up with your word, and that everybody is healed, delivered, strong in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so now, last week, we were considering the great and the many promises that Jesus has for us. And we saw that in all of those promises, Jesus gives us all those promises simply because he loves us. The reason he gives us those is because he loves us. It's his joy to give us all of those promises. It's his joy. He wants us to fully receive all of those things. You know, if you have something like a child, it's your joy. I mean, it's just a joy on your part to give, right? You give not because you have any reason, but you just love. It gives you a joy to see the happiness for your spouse. You give to your spouse just because it gives you joy to see them receive. It's just your joy. Jesus gives us all of his promises because he loves us. It's his joy to give them to us, and he wants us to fully receive them. But there's a right way to receive all of those promises and all those blessings that Jesus has for us. There's a way to receive it that honors Jesus and not honoring us. That's really important because in our culture, that's not the way things are in our culture. In our culture, all the focus, and we don't even realize how it gets into our thoughts sometimes, but our culture teaches us to think about self and to honor ourselves. Jesus has given you everything that you need in your life. He's given it to you because he loves you. He wants you to have it, but there's a proper way to receive it. If I'm receiving, the proper way to receive the blessings, the goodness, all the things that Jesus has for us, the proper way to receive it is to glorify him to others. Don't just receive it and keep it. It's to glorify him to others for everything that we've received from him. If I just receive from Jesus and I keep it to myself, and I don't glorify him to others, all I've essentially done is I've just consumed his goodness, his blessings, his promises. I've just consumed them upon myself. Now, make no mistake about it. He still gives it to us, and he wants us to have it. He wants you to receive those things. But he also, the proper way to honor him is to glorify, when you receive, glorify his name to others. We saw last week, that's the mistake that the Israelites made. Because they didn't understand. They thought that God's love was exclusively for them. He wanted them to take him to all the Gentiles. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants us to take the good things. Yes, receive them. But glorify Jesus. Take those truths to others as well. If I just receive it myself, I do receive it. But the ultimate in fulfillment, in satisfaction, and contentment only comes when we are being used by Jesus to impact the lives of others. That is the only time in your life. If you don't feel satisfied, if you don't feel fulfilled or content in this life, look for ways because he's given you opportunities. It only comes when we're being used to impact the lives of others to the glory of Jesus. Now, if I just receive and I don't give it, If I just receive and I keep it to myself, essentially, I'm living in a state of being. We talked about that last week. I'm living in a state of just being. I'm living to self and just what Jesus can do for me. I still receive all those blessings, but I don't get that contentment and that fulfillment that comes with it. We need to share what Jesus has done for us. Share it with others. We need to take His word and the revelation of His word that He's given you, and we need to take that to others. We need to take the testimony, your testimony of His faithfulness and the amazing things He's done for you. Take that testimony and share it with others. That is when we go from living in a state of just being, receiving to ourselves, we go from a state of being to a state of becoming. Becoming everything that we can be in Jesus Christ to glorify Him. I wish I had time, but we used that wonderful example of Michelangelo's awesome masterpiece of the giant sculptor of David. And we saw that many times. I used other illustrations of David. We see that David is a great illustration of this. And I can sum it up by the words of the author and historian, Miles Unger. He said this, and he said it specifically about what we saw in that statue of David. He said that David, that statue, David is a verb and not a noun. A noun is what is. A noun is just being. But a verb, it's action. I want to be active. Actively doing the things, fulfilling the plan that God has for me. Because as I'm active in serving Jesus Christ, He can entrust me with more. I get more because He'll entrust me with more. I want to be a verb. I want to be active. I want to be in action. I want to be in a constant state of becoming. Becoming everything that I can be in Jesus. That's where satisfaction comes from. Now we see the same principle taught to us and exemplified in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, it talks about this action, this giving of ourselves in service to Jesus. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Strong words to start off with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is giving us a little bit deeper understanding of what it is to be living a life in a state of becoming, as opposed to living a life just in a state of being. He's showing us that I become more of what I was created to be when I serve Jesus. I become the most that I was created to be when I serve Jesus. Now, how vital is this? Well, it's vital enough that Paul pleads with us. He says, I beseech you, brethren. He pleads with us to present ourselves as living sacrifices to Him. Now, the word brethren that we see there means brothers. Brethren actually means of the same lineage. We all share a common bloodline with Jesus Christ. We all share eternal life through His blood. So Paul is taking advantage of that family relationship that we all have. And as a family member, he is counseling us. He is reasoning with us and saying, present, because of this, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Jesus. Now the word bodies there actually means the complete man. So Paul is telling me, I need to give myself entirely to serving Jesus. You know, in our culture today, it's not uncommon that in the body of Christ, we give ourselves to serving Jesus when we come to church on Sundays, but then the rest of the week, we live as though the rest of the week we serve ourselves. No, Paul's letting us know that everything that I do, I should do it for the purpose of serving Him. And if I have that mindset and if I have that attitude, I'm going to see all those opportunities every day. I'm going to find those opportunities, great and small, where I can serve Jesus and impact somebody's life. I'm making this body, I'm making it a living sacrifice to Him. That's where the kingdom of God is advanced. That's where you find peace, contentment, fulfillment, and satisfaction in life. This is what Paul is asking us to do. Now, that same word, bodies, bodies also is used in the Greek to mean slaves. And that's appropriate too, because we have been purchased at a very high price, the price of His blood. And so then it is reasonable for us. It is reasonable for us to live our lives not to self, but to live a life that glorifies Jesus Christ. So Paul says, it is a reasonable service. That is our reasonable service. The word service in that verse, it actually refers to a temple service. It is speaking about an act or a form of worship to God. It is a service that is rendered to God. It is a priestly service done in the temple. Now remember, last week we saw that we are a royal priesthood. And these bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is where the sacrifice was made. The temple is the place where the sacrifice was made. Now, we're not making sacrifices like they were, okay? They were making sacrifices to have their sins covered and to draw closer to God. Through Jesus Christ, we all know that our sins have been removed. We've been cleansed from sins. And we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Himself, living inside of us. So it's different for us. We sacrifice self, this body, temple service. We sacrifice when we live as a living sacrifice. When we live as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. And that is our act of worship. When you live your life as a living sacrifice, that is an act of worship. It's your act of worship to Jesus Christ. Now remember that the sacrifices that were made, offered to God under the old covenant, those sacrifices were offered with fire. Now in the new covenant, in Jesus Christ, we live to serve Jesus Christ. And we have received, we are the recipients, we've received every blessing, every mercy, and every promise. But it's those exact, what you've already received, it's those exact mercies, blessings, and promises. Those are all the exact mercy, blessing, and promises that God wants every man to receive. So truly, as we saw last week, truly, He wants us to be the ones that take Him into the harvest field. In that same chapter we're talking about, Romans chapter 12, a little bit later, in that chapter, Paul gives us an amazing spiritual description of your living sacrifice. Look at this. This is Romans chapter 12, verse number 11. I'm going to show this to you in the Amplified Bible. Paul's spiritual description of you, your life is a living sacrifice. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. I don't want to just live my life for self. I want to be a verb. I want to be active. I want to be actively becoming everything. I want to be in that state of becoming everything that Jesus has planned for me to become. Amen? That's what I want to be. I want to be a zealous living sacrifice, aglow and burning with the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to be. That's what He wants you and I to be. Now, in those sacrifices of old, those sacrifices under the old covenant, those sacrifices were offered with fire, but they were offered with a natural fire. It was the fire of this world. But Occasionally in the Old Testament, we see that when there was an acceptable sacrifice to God, the glory of the Lord would appear. and he would pour down his heavenly fire to consume that sacrifice. A few examples. When the priestly ministry actually began in the book of Leviticus, we see that Aaron and his sons, they make an altar, and they make an offering on that altar. And it tells us in Leviticus chapter 9 that when they did that, the glory of the Lord appeared. So picture them making this sacrifice. I don't know what it looks like, but picture the glory of the Lord appearing for them all to see. Then we read this in the very next verse. This is Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 24. And fire came down out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. I want the glory of the Lord to shine through me so powerfully and so strong that people fall to their faces. Not because of me, but because I'm a vessel and that he is moving through me. I am a living sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord and that fire shows through me. I want the glory of the Lord to shine through me so powerfully that people fall on their faces and they shout to God. And if you think that that's not possible or you think that that's silly, I tell you, it's the same thing that happened with Peter. Peter would just walk past people and they were healed. That's the glory of the Lord. It is not far-fetched to think. Listen, if you believe the stories that I told you, the accounts that I told you before we did praise and worship, if you believe that the hand of God could supernaturally save those people on those beaches, well, this is no different. We should expect, you should expect, because the Holy Spirit is in you. I should expect and you should expect that as we go through our day, the glory of the Lord shines through the living sacrifice of me in such a way that people respond. I know you think, well, that's never happened. But it can, and it should, and we should have a sense of expectancy. I will tell you this, I've seen it. I've seen it where unbelievers see someone, and they see something they can't understand. They see the glory of the Lord, and it makes them ask, who is that? And what is it that I saw in that person? I've seen it. It is not far-fetched. It's what we should expect. If it happened with Peter, it can happen with us. How awesome if you would go through your day and all of a sudden people would just say, Jesus, I need Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Or you just walk past and people were healed. This is what we should expect. I know it's what we don't expect because we haven't seen it. But we can start expecting to see it. And you know what? If you see it once, you'll expect it a second time. And if you see it in someone here, you're going to start to expect it in you. And you'll start to say, I want to see that. I want you to be glorified through me, just like that person was. We see the same thing when Solomon dedicated the temple of the Lord to God. We see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. When Solomon had finished preparing, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Every day we should get up and say, today, this temple is dedicated to you, Lord, today, brand new, afresh, dedicated to you. I expect you to use me. Let your fire, let your glory shine and show through this vessel. If we expect it, we'll see it. And I guarantee you, once you see it, you're going to want to see it the next day. Later that same day, you're going to want to see it again and again and again. We see the same thing when Elijah called down fire from heaven to consume the offering that he had on Mount Carmel. Here's the thing. You are holy and acceptable through Jesus Christ. So since you are holy and acceptable through Jesus Christ, the living sacrifice of you is acceptable to God. So if the living sacrifice of you is acceptable to God, we should be expecting to see, expect the glory of the Lord to appear. Seriously, expect the glory of the Lord to appear through your life. And you know what? You probably won't even know it's happening. But you'll see the results of it. When we present ourselves our lives as living sacrifices to Jesus, when we present ourselves, the glory, the Lord appears. And the fire of the Holy Spirit appears through you. Fire of the Holy Spirit appears through you, and you know what? The world that's around you, they want to be touched by that fire of the Holy Spirit. This is what our expectation should be. It's exciting to be called, which we all are, to serve Jesus Christ. It's exciting. We see the same thing. Again, we keep coming back to the example of David. We see the same thing exemplified in David's life. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, there's a plague that's upon the people, God's people, because of David's sin. And David is told by God to go to build an altar on the threshing floor of Araunah. Araunah, the Jebusite. Now, I don't have time to go through, but think about this. He's going to make an offering. He's going to build an altar and make a sacrifice on the threshing floor. The man who's involved here in this story is a Jebusite. It's just earlier in David's life that the Jebusites were the ones who controlled Jerusalem. They lived in Jerusalem. They controlled it. David's the one who snuck in. David's the one who got his men in through that water tunnel, and they came in and they overtook. They killed the Jebusites. Now, it's going to sound harsh, but because of something that the Jebusites said, mocking God, David killed the lame and the blind because of something they said, mocking God. Now, this man is a Jebusite. It's still within the lifetime of David. Imagine this man. You would think his heart would be, I hate David and I hate the Jews. But instead we see that even a Gentile, even someone who his people were destroyed by David. And yet his heart, he's seen something in David and he has seen something in what David has represented in his life that has made him look to God. So in responding to what God told David to do, David comes to this threshing floor. And as he approaches, Araunah sees him and he comes. And he comes out and he greets the king. And David says to him, I wish to purchase your threshing floor to build an altar and make a sacrifice so the plague against the people will be withdrawn. Here's Araunah's response. Araunah said he was willing to give to David. To give to David, to give him the threshing floor, to give him all of his ox, which did the threshing. He was going to give the oxen as the sacrifice. And he said, I'll also give you all of the yoke of the oxen and all of the implements of threshing. I will give you those to burn. That will be the fire to burn the sacrifice. That's his heart. Here's David's response. We see this in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 24. David said, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, with that which costs me nothing. David is not willing to make a sacrifice that costs him nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David would not make an offering to the Lord that cost him nothing. It cost David something personally to buy that threshing floor, but it had dynamic and powerful results. And we learn about those results when we read of that same account, but we're going to read it this time in the book of 1 Chronicles. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 26, this is relating the entire story, this same story, but we get this extra piece of information. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and he called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offerings. David made a sacrifice on that altar. It cost David something. But the Lord, the glory of the Lord, appeared in fire upon that altar and upon that offering. When you and I, when we give ourselves in service, when we offer ourselves as living sacrifices in service to Jesus, it costs us something. Because then I can no longer live to self. It costs me something. But the fire of the Holy Spirit appears on this altar, the altar of this heart. Then the glory of the Lord shines through me to accomplish His will and what He intended. And it has powerful results that you and I would never have imagined or foreseen ourselves. Now, with all that in mind, consider this. That same place where David made his altar, on the threshing floor of Araunah, that same place, 1,000 years before that, Abraham came to that very spot. That is the spot, 1,000 years before, where Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac to God. And that same spot where David made his offering, that's the spot where later David's son Solomon, that's the spot Solomon's going to build the temple to the Lord. Now it's easy for us to look at our lives and to think to ourselves, there's no great value to my life. What can I do for Jesus? It's easy for us to think that the living sacrifice of me is not that valuable. The Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord, operating through and appearing in this altar, the altar of your heart, accomplishes eternal things. Let me take it a little bit further. So this very spot where David made his offering, it's the spot where the temple would be built. So we thought, we just saw 1,000 years in the past. Now let's go from where that temple's built. Now let's go 1,000 years forward. 1,000 years after that, there's a widow woman who makes a small offering of 2 small mites at that very temple. And Jesus, seeing this, memorializes that small sacrifice offering of that widow. And He memorializes it for eternity. We still read about it today, 2,000 years later. We will know about it for all eternity. That small offering, she didn't even know that the Lord took note of it. But she's memorialized forever. We might think that what we have to give to Jesus with the service, with our service, with the living sacrifice of this body, we might think it's small and we might think it's unimportant. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, your living sacrifice will ring through to eternity to glorify Jesus Christ. Just stop and think about the magnitude of that. You won't even realize in this lifetime. If I truly make myself a living sacrifice, I will not fully realize it at all. How Jesus has used the sacrifices that I make for eternal value and to accomplish. I won't know until I'm there in heaven. You won't know either. The sacrifice, the living sacrifice of you, is not small. In Him, this altar, if I will allow the fire of the Holy Spirit on this altar, eternal lives are changed eternally because of that and through us. So we've been looking last week and this week, and basically to sum it up, we've been learning about this. To glorify Jesus, we can't live in a state of being. I can't live to self and just what Jesus has done for me. He wants us to receive. He needs us to receive. But He wants us to take it. I told you last week, I think as a church we do a great job. And then we would do a really good job of teaching the church to receive. And we need to keep teaching. If you see people who are not receiving the promises, teach them to receive the promises of Jesus Christ. But we can't stop there. We have to get that next step, which is to glorify Jesus Christ for those promises, those blessings, all of the good things that we've received. That's how we make ourselves a living sacrifice, serving Him. Living sacrifice in this body. That's what we want to be. Now, this is relevant to our lives every single day. But it's even more timely this week, this very week. And here's why. On the Hebrew calendar, we just began the fall feasts, the fall holidays, the Hebrew, the Jewish fall holidays. This past Thursday at sunset began the first of all of these fall festivals. It's the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, if you remember, back in the spring, I'm just going to give you like a mini, I'm like a 30-second overview. But if you remember in the spring, we talked about some of those spring Hebrew festivals. They had Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost. Now, all of those deal with, they all relate to the death, resurrection, and ascension and victory of Jesus Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit. But I said after the spring, and I want to remind you now, we have on the Hebrew calendar these fall festivals and the spring, all the festivals of the Hebrew calendar, they all strongly represent things. But notice, there are no festivals, there's no feasts, there's no Hebrew holidays during the summer months. There's none. Now we come to the fall. And in the fall we have just had, we just had the Feast of Trumpets. We'll also have the Feast of Atonement and Yom Kippur and the Feast of Tabernacles. All of those symbolize the start of the new year, the Hebrew New Year, but also, and significantly, all of those different feasts, all of those speak prophetically to the second coming of Jesus Christ and to the end times. So there's no Hebrew feasts during the summer months. That's because the summer months represent right now. It represents the church age that we live in right now. In this church age we live in, there's no festivals because Jesus has already done and he's going to do again. This is the church age when we're supposed to be doing the work. This is the church age when we are the ones who are to be living sacrifices serving him. This is the church age. There's no festivals because we have work that we're supposed to be doing, which is not just consuming his things, his blessings and his promises upon ourselves. Does he want you to have it? Yes! Enjoy every promise. Live it to the fullest. But take the next step and let's glorify Jesus to others for the things that he's done. The church age gaps the two comings of Jesus. Jesus came originally as a Passover lamb, a sacrifice lamb. He came to die for our sins, to rise again in victory, to be seated in victory at the right hand of the Father, and to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. So here, under the new covenant in Jesus' blood, we live for him today. We live for him, and we live to serve him. But also, we have the power of the Holy Spirit so that we walk as victorious overcomers in everything. We live as victorious overcomers. We live all of those promises in our lives. But we're also to be the ones who are the bearers of the good news. We're the ones who are supposed to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ during this summer season. That's why it's so imperative for us not to live in a state of being. We need to live in that state of becoming everything that we can be for Jesus Christ. Becoming what he's called us to be. And then at the end of this age, at the end of this church age, when God's summer, the summer of God's calendar of events, when that's concluded, then Jesus comes back again. But he comes back as the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. That's what the fall festivals celebrate. The fall festivals, which we just begun to celebrate. In Israel, they're celebrating it right now. And the first of those fall festivals is the Feast of Trumpets. The sound of the trumpet. It has many, many purposes. Again, many of you are not going to remember this and some of you weren't here, but about 3 years ago, for those of you here, if you remember, we went through all the different trumpet sounds. And we looked at the purpose of each of the trumpet sounds. I remember Tony getting kind of red-faced because he was blowing. I think you were blowing on the smaller one, weren't you, Tony? You didn't blow on this one, did you? Imagine Tony blowing on this one today. So we talked about the trumpet and the trumpet sound. And there's different purposes. There's a multitude of purposes, different purposes for the trumpet sound. Well, one of the purposes, which I want to focus on today, that's the point of everything I'm talking about this morning. One of the purposes is the trumpet would sound to call the workers in from the field. The trumpet would sound to let them know harvest had stopped. It was now time to come in and worship. The day is coming when we're going to hear the trumpet sound. And that trumpet sound is going to call you and I. It's going to call us. You and I, as living believers, as living sacrifices offered to Jesus Christ, that trumpet's going to sound and it's going to call us to cease the work in the fields and to come home. That's the sound of the trumpet. We read that in Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now Paul talks about this exact same event, this last trumpet sound. He talks about this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And after he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a few verses after that, he concludes with this reminder, which is exactly what we're talking about today, about living our lives to serve Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. I'm going to show it to you in the Amplified Bible. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, here we are as brethren again, brothers. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough. I want to do more than enough. Doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. How many times in our life do we find ourselves saying, "Why, Lord, why?" Well, it's no different than that example I gave you this morning with that chaplain laying face down in the sand. You know, he had to be saying, "Why, Lord, why? Why has it come to this?" We need to know that our lives are a living sacrifice to Him. We put our trust in Him, and even though I might go through some storms, I am ready, willing, and able to be used. No matter what the circumstances, I'm going to trust He's going to use me. Regardless of the circumstance, I'm going to come through that circumstance, not only victorious, but I'm going to come out stronger, and I'm going to come out blessed and rewarded because I came through it in Him. But I also know this. His will is going to be done and accomplished. It is not for any purpose, for no purpose at all. It is for a purpose and a will that He has to reach and touch people that need to be reached by Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that saddens me the most, I know people, I'm sure you do too, know people that they love Jesus Christ. But when the things get tough in life, they don't stick with it. If a hard situation comes, they abandon that situation. They don't keep moving forward in Jesus Christ. They avoid the situation. And here's what happens. They never learn this principle. They never learn that God is faithful and He will deliver them. And when I go through a situation and I see what looks impossible with my face down on the beach and the beach being pummeled by machine gun fire, it's only when that is done and I get up and I walk away and I look and I see that there's an outline, everything has been perforated by bullets, except for that outline in the sand where I was. That's when I see that God is faithful. That's when I see that He will use me. And that's when I see that no matter what I go through in service to Him and I'm willing to, I will come out on top. That doesn't mean life is always pleasant. It's not. There's a lot of things in life that are difficult, but we keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Then we will see His faithfulness. We'll be delivered. We'll be blessed. And we'll see it was not for no purpose. That's where the satisfaction, that's where the fulfillment and the contentment comes from. Don't run away from those things. When life gets hard, don't run. Keep facing through it. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and keep walking through it. It's the only way you'll ever learn and see that principle and that truth. That's a principle and a truth that I've lived by, and He has always, 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 always been faithful. I always come out on top. I always come out rewarded and benefited. And I always come out and I see His hand. I see what He did. I can look back in the sand and I can see that outline. I see what He did. We are to be his harvesters, his workers in the field. But that day is coming soon. It's coming soon when that trumpet blast is going to sound. That day is coming soon. And we're just reminded of it last Thursday with the Feast of Trumpets. And when that day comes, we're going to be called from this field. We're going to be called from this harvest field. And we're going to go and we're going to worship with eternity. We're going to be with him, worship with him for eternity. But that day hasn't come yet. We're still in that season, that summer season, where we have the work to do. And that's why it's so imperative for us. I want to be a verb. I want to be action. I want to take advantage of every opportunity to share with others what Jesus has done for me, with me, and through me. I want to share the revelation of his word that he's given me to them. And I want to share my witness. I want to share my testimony with them. Because the days are short. And as we saw Sunday, the Feast of Trumpets, it's coming at some point. It's coming soon. Let's do our work and finish our work. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. That it doesn't matter what we might face. It doesn't matter the things that come upon our lives. Our focus, our eyes are on you. We don't look at the sand around us being perforated. We keep our eyes steadfast on you. And I thank you and I praise you that you not only deliver, you bless us abundantly. We come out better than we were before. And we see that we went through it not for no purpose, but that you would be glorified. Here we are, Jesus. We are your living sacrifices for you. And we want, Holy Spirit, we want you to be that fire on the altars of our hearts. Lord, appear in glory. Holy Spirit, appear in glory through us. That we might not even see, but we have an expectation that the world is going to see you in us and shout and fall on their faces because they want and hunger for and need you. Let us be your workers. Strengthen us as we are the workers in this summer season. We thank you and praise you. You be glorified in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.